This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show.
And I'm your host, Walt Keeson, with my co-host, Yona June Tooth-Keeson. This is Thursday, November 20th, 2014, 1 week before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. In fact, this show probably runs next week, too, because the studio gets closed for the holidays. So if you're listening on Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. And Yona, are you on the line with us?
Oh, Linda here, yes.
Well, Linda's here. Okay. Still looking for Yona to get on the line. She's still trying to call in, I guess. But Linda is our guest today. Linda is a personal coach and has a rather interesting story to share that is, among other things, going to lead to the main topic of the show, which is particularly for entrepreneurs, but really it's also a topic for anybody who wants to try to improve their life, trying to get into a better place than they are right now. Linda actually started her business. She was making a relatively low income, and then by applying a few secrets, as she terms them, she was able to turn her income into a six-figure income in a relatively short period of time, and that's a really fascinating start for a story right there. So, Linda, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Walt. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you here. Why don't you tell the story from the beginning in your words, because obviously you know it a whole lot better than I do.
Certainly. Which part of the story do you want to hear, about my recent business or my history before that? I wasn't sure which one you were referring to.
Well, you can go either way. I'll leave it in your hands. You decide which way to bring us up to date.
Okay. Well, I think it's just so interesting when we follow our internal nudges and or outer guidance or internal GPS or whatever you want to call it, that life can really unfold in fascinating ways that we could never predict or really make happen. And I think that's sort of what we all prescribe to here. So when you look back on your stories, you go, oh, wow, that actually did make sense. So mine started 20-plus years ago as I was graduating from college, and I looked around and I saw all my classmates either head off to Wall Street or to law school, and I was an art history major, so I knew that wasn't for me. And I didn't know what to do because there you are at 20-something, and I had gone to a very expensive private school, and they didn't teach you life skills. They just taught you ivory tower stuff.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
It is funny how that works. And so I actually opened up the classified newspaper section, and I circled with black Sharpie an ad that said, Chimney Sweeps Wanted.
Oh, my.
And it was, you know, my parents were like, we sent you where to do what? And but something within me was nudging me to not take the beaten path, to take the unbeaten path. And so the beautiful thing about that was when you follow your heart and your internal guidance, what happened was, yes, as an art history major, I got to build, clean, repair, inspect chimneys, and I loved the masonry piece of it. But it also opened up this whole world of entrepreneurialism for me, because inside of 2 years, I opened up three offices in three states. Now, I had no idea that was going to happen, but I was just following, you know, the nudges. And so that was incredible. So I got bit by the entrepreneurial bug, and the rest is history, as they say. I've been through many different entrepreneurial startups since then, but it all started with that, you know what, this doesn't feel right to me. I need to look at an alternative. So, and I think I can honestly say I think I'm probably the only Ivy League graduate in the history of graduates who has ever run off to become a chimney sweep.
Those are my humble beginnings.
Yes,
it's a rather unusual vocation. We will admit to that.
Yes, and I never had a top hat, folks. Everyone wants to know that I never had the top hat. But
you don't dance on top of the roofs like they did in Mary Poppins and all that.
Absolutely, and this is a woman here who is afraid of heights, and I was in New England, and
oh,
I was scaling icy roofs, and it was interesting. It really was, but when you just go with that guidance, it leads to miraculous things. So after that, I ended up on the West Coast and fell into a string of high-tech startup companies. So I left the chimney sweep company, kind of burned out, ironically, and fell into high-tech, which was brilliant in at the dawning of the digital era. It was so exciting to be there. So some real miracles and things unfolded as well. So
let's talk about that little inner voice that was talking to you, because I think everybody gets that inner voice at one time or another, but a lot of us don't trust it. You trusted it implicitly. Why?
Well, you know, there's some of us who can't not listen to it. We just can't sit in a box. I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to that. And so the challenge is, even if you hear it, do you have the courage to follow it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why I Perhaps it was my family support, just knowing that whatever she thinks is what she needs to do, we'll just get behind her. I've come from a very blessed family, really. But all my life, I mean, I just made a really bold move a year ago to do something that you're not supposed to do in my personal life. And it just, when you listen to that spiritual guidance and you hone spiritual muscle, this is what I teach in business as well, you can't go wrong. It might be challenging, but you can't go wrong. So to answer your question, I don't think I've ever had any other choice. When I don't follow it, I am miserable. I mean, that's the truth, right?
Sure.
So, I'm almost 50 now, so I have no choice. Like, I don't even question it anymore. But sure, 20s, 30s, 40s, you fall in lockstep, in line with society and what they tell you should do, especially when you have an upbringing like I did. But I tell you, and the beautiful thing, Walt, as you know, is in today's culture, people are listening, waking up, opening eyes, grabbing onto this new consciousness, which is so exciting.
From that perspective, the last 5 to 10 years has been absolutely fascinating to watch it unfold and to be a part of it, because I can honestly say 10 years ago, I was part of that lockstep crowd you were talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. So I ended up in California. I visited and I stayed for 21 years.
Wow.
Which was fabulous. But then I moved back to the East Coast about 4 or 5 years ago, and I was so afraid that I was going to be the woo-woo chick from L.A., because here I had been raised a good buttoned-up WASP, and you keep it all tucked in, and I was afraid to bring my spirituality out. And it was a major part of my business at the time, but I was afraid to show it because of what I remembered the East Coast to be. Well, come to find out, the more I let it out, the better my business did. It was like, wow, who knew that every pocket of the world is hungry, open, and ready? And that's been the most exciting thing. And so it's such an exciting time to be alive, to be on the edge, leading and guiding and teaching. And my whole mission now, really, I can say it on this show, is to spiritualize the marketplace, to bring consciousness, law of attraction, these principles into the marketplace, because I kind of think they need it.
I think you're accurate about that. It's an interesting concept, bringing spirituality into the marketplace, because from an economic perspective, certainly anyone who's ever studied economics at an Ivy League school, or even not quite an Ivy League school, knows that they don't really talk too much about spirituality. It's not really near the top of the textbook list, you know?
Right. Although what's really exciting is if you look at some of the MBA programs now, they are focusing on mindfulness, and they are focusing on, you know, things that they would have never touched before. Coaching programs, which, of course, coaching is just a euphemism for, you know, inner work and spirituality, ultimately, because ultimately that's what all coaches are reaching into and guiding people with. So it's fascinating. You can't keep us down. You know, those of us who are leading this charge, it's bleeding out everywhere. So it is such fun to be, you know, in it and watching it at the same time. It's really great.
So let's get to the story of your financial situation, because that's really what we promote the show for to begin with.
You were,
I guess this is after you moved back to the East Coast, you were making, my God, $11,000 a year, and you parlayed that into a six-figure income. Now, other than the obvious, what did you do?
Okay, great question. So if there's any coaches or healers or solopreneurs out there who are really, really good at what they do, and just aren't making it. This was my story. I got out of the high-tech business when I got pregnant with my first child and realized I can't keep doing that. So I'm gonna solve the problem of working women who are trying to be good mothers, and I'm going to quit my high-powered job that I helped create, and I'm going to find the magic pill for women to be great mothers and great workers at the same time. Yeah, okay, great. Great idea. The problem was I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to make good money doing what I was passionate about. So I really struggled for a decade. I really did. Like, just making no money. So the year that enough is enough.
They don't give us a manual. They don't give us an instruction manual on how to do it.
No, they don't. It's like, you've given me this brilliant gift, but why am I not making money at this? And so I finally said, okay, enough. I am going to figure this out. I'm somebody who has built businesses for other people. I should be able to figure this out. So I did everything I knew how to do, everything. And at the end of that year, I looked back, and that was the year I made a whopping $11,000. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, if I can't do this, what gift? So I knew I had to do my business differently. So I threw myself into two different types of training. One was to brush up on my business marketing sales skills. So that I did with some great support, and that was brilliant. But I also aligned myself with some real incredible spiritual mentors and spiritual programs so that I could hone my spiritual muscles. And so now, fast forward, what I teach and what I did that took me from 11,000 one year to 42,000 the next year to 158,000 the following year, and I'm in the multiple six-figure range now, is because I incorporate spirit and universal principles and law of attraction in my work, and I teach it to my clients. The way I describe it is, it's as though you're standing, if you're standing up, I do this when I do live talk, stand up, now lift up a leg, and so you're on one leg, and pick a spot across the room, and I say, now go to that spot. And people are hopping and falling down all around me because you can't get across the room on one leg. So that's my point. You have to have two strong legs to walk, run, move quickly towards where you want to go. And that's a spiritual leg and a business leg. And when you combine them, I'm telling you, quantum changes, quantum growth, it's beautiful. One without the other, here's what happens. When you just have the business, marketing, sales strategies, and you're leaving out the spiritual piece, or what I call spiritual, I call it law of attraction, universal principles, whatever you want to call it. If you just have business, you might make a lot of money, but you could show up like so many women on my doorstep show up, and they'd be like, is this all there is? Like, what's the point? I've lost my mojo. I don't really know why I'm doing this anymore, but I don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you only have the universal principles and law of attraction and just, you know, your spiritual orientation and alignment, that's great, but you could be the classic starving yoga teacher. And good God, the world needs thriving yoga teachers, not starving yoga teachers. Mm-hmm. So when you marry the two, you have a beautiful blend, and the sky's the limit. It really is. So that's my philosophy. It's worked for me. It works for the women I work with. It is so divine because here's the thing. The women I'm working with are healers and visionaries and edgewalkers, and they see how to solve problems in the world that nobody else sees. So if we can get them to earn money and sort of shift the balance of economy over a little bit more into that camp, we're all better off. It's fabulous.
And it sounds to me that you have managed through your initial steps of success to get yourself into what Abraham Hicks would call the positive vortex and to stay there. And then while staying there, you're basically drawing in all these cool ideas and cool information that you're getting psyched about every step of the way. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. And I... my flag, I don't live there all the time. Good God, who does, right? And in my personal life, I live there even less than in my business life. For some reason, it's very much more easy for me to live in the vortex in my work life. But a red flag for me, and I put this out for everyone else, which is just be a reminder, not anything new, is when it's hard, I'm out of alignment. When it's hard, I've stepped out of the vortex. When it's hard, I forgot that in my business, spirit is my business partner. Spirit is my life partner. So when I'm making stuff hard, harder than it needs to be, come on, life can be challenging, of course, but when I make it harder than it needs to be, then I'm out of alignment, I'm out of the vortex. And as you know, well, when you're in that vortex, wow, it's fun. Some of my colleagues and I have a phrase, I'm sure you've heard, you know, how good can it get? How good can you stand it, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I have bumps. I have challenges. I fall off the horse all the time. But I know that that's temporary. I know that the life situation is not truth. I know where truth lives, and I just have to keep climbing back up to it or into it.
Well, my co-host, Yona, is on the line now, and I'm sure she is totally latched onto what you're talking about because she's going through something very similar herself right now. Yona, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Okay. Yeah, tell Linda what you've been going through the last 6 months or so.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi. Great. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Same here. So my husband and I, we just launched our new online business about a little under 6 months ago, like Walt said, and it's been the scariest, funnest, most I don't even know how to describe it, ride of my life.
Yeah.
And it's just been, I don't know, not, like what was saying earlier, you know, I've had a lot of formal education, but nothing there's no training for this. And so you learn everything through experience, and sometimes that can be quite costly.
Yes.
But you were talking about, you know, you said something just now about it being easy when you're in spirit. Is that what you said?
When easier when you're what?
You said that it's easy. When it's hard, you're not, I forgot your
right.
words.
Yes, when things are really, really hard, like harder than they need to be, it could be something as silly sounding for me as when I have to sit down and write marketing copy. And it's just sometimes a little things like that can be so hard. And I think, okay, snap out of it. Snap back into alignment. Spirit, what do you want? What are you trying to channel through me? What do you want me to say? Or source, this is not hard, and I'm making it hard. That's a very small example. There's also a bigger one. But, yeah, when it's hard, that's a red flag for me, that I've separated, that I'm out of the vortex. Absolutely.
Okay. So when it's hard, does that mean you should switch and do something else, or you keep doing it and try to change your mindset? Because I have things that I am doing right now for the business, and oh my goodness, I find it so hard. And it's not intellectually difficult. It's just I would prefer to do anything else.
Yeah, there's so many great ways to handle that. One that pops to mind right now to share with you is, especially if you're building a business, and especially if you're in the early stages where you're wearing all of the hats, try to identify your referred to as your zone of genius. And as you build your business, try to only do things. The goal is to only do things in your zone of genius and to farm everything else out. Now, I totally know that in the beginning of a business, sometimes you don't feel like you have the resources to farm everything out, but that should be the goal. Because sometimes we're trying to do things that we're not really suited to do, and it would be so much more effective and your business would grow so much faster if you farmed those things out. However, when you are stuck with having to do things that you can't farm out, you know, you have to find a way. I think you just have to tune in and listen. Is it, let me just do a little breathing or prayer or meditation and get back in alignment and ask for guidance and ask for help? Or is it, you know what, I got to take a break? Or is it, this is the other thing that popped up when you said that, is it just resistance? Is it just your upper limits? Is it just ego jumping in there and tamping you down? So it could be any of those things. You could be out of your zone of genius. You could be totally in resistance, or you might just need to realign. So it's hard to know.
Okay, so when it's resistance, what do you do?
Well, everyone, fortunately, listening is very familiar, I'm sure, with ego and beliefs. And so get in there and figure out what is the predominant belief that is running the show, and do some exercises to put those in their places. Oftentimes when I'm working with people, and I'm sure you've been exposed to this, you know, personify that voice that's telling you you're no good, or what do you think you're doing, or this is too hard, you know, to personify that. What does this creature look like, smell like, what's it wearing, what's it saying, who is it, does it have a name, and then what do you want to say back, and what do you want to do with it, and turn down the volume. I often say, put it in the passenger seat because you're in the driver's seat, or put it in the back seat with a fifth of vodka, something. Just like get it to shut up. Say again?
Put it in the trunk, for goodness sake. Keep it out of the car.
Exactly. Because, like, thank you for sharing, but Spirit and I are in charge here. We have some work to do. We have some real work to do. So, and, you know, I have to say that, yes, there's nothing more challenging or will bring up your stuff faster than doing something like building a business. Because to grow your business, you got to grow yourself. And that's like the good news, bad news. Constant. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Everything that you're saying is ringing through for me right now. My whole body's vibrating.
So just don't take those, you know, don't take those voices seriously. But also, by the same token, you got to build in pauses and rest and reflection time, you know, because it's big stuff. Are you at liberty to share with us what it is you're working on?
Yeah, sure. So we are, like I said, we're getting into e-commerce, and you know, now the Christmas holidays is coming, and so we're preparing. We're finding products that we're going to sell on Amazon. But, you know, it takes a lot of work doing the research, finding the product, finding the sources, negotiating the prices. Yeah. And then that's my part. And then my husband does all the, you know, actually the pictures, the listings, the details, the descriptions. And, yeah, we are, like, way behind in terms of what we should have done already. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it makes you feel any better. Every entrepreneur is behind. I mean, because by the nature of being an entrepreneur, you're always, always setting these crazy goals, and then then maybe meet them, maybe not. So, welcome. I had a family member who runs a multi-million-dollar business say to me about 10 years ago when I was first getting back into things after raising my family. She said, "I always feel behind." She said, "Get used to it." I'm like, "No, I don't want to get used to it. I'm a type A." But you know, and the world is changing so fast. How could we possibly keep up? And so, as you know, the goal is simply pick your top two or three things. You got to move forward that day. Stay focused on those, and you'll get there, you know?
Yes.
And, of course, harness the power of the law, you know? Harness law of attraction. Harness spiritual principle. All of that is right there for the taking. Really is.
Yeah.
Don't have to do this alone.
Okay. In fact, if there's one area of life where the now matters more than any other, it's business. Because if you aren't in the now in business, you aren't getting anywhere.
Right. Right. And yet it's so paradoxical, because we're always thinking about the future and the goals and the you know, the launches
in fact,
and whatever else we're doing. Yes.
We're supposed to do business planning, right? Market plans and all that kind of stuff. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. It's I'm telling you, it's a little crazy town over here in the entrepreneurial world, but those of us that are in it would have it no other way. So sure you can relate.
So you got into the coaching business, what, 3 years ago? Is that right?
No, I've been in the coaching business for 15 years. And what's interesting is I got into coaching before people knew, they thought I was a sports coach. So, but I didn't, it was more of a hobby, quite frankly, because if you don't know how to make money at what you're doing, I hate to say it, but I was a hobbyist for 10 years because I couldn't make money. So about 5 years ago, I figured out this sort of special sauce that works for me and really started making some income.
And the special sauce was essentially linking your spiritual side with your business side.
Yes, exactly. And so
if somebody's trying to do that for the first time, maybe they're either strong with one or strong with the other, but they're not strong with both. How do they go about trying to create the marriage?
Yeah, it's funny because I was just going to launch in on that. Like, that sounds good, but give me the how-to. So you can do it by yourself, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But the quickest way is to learn from those who have done it. So that's what I did. I finally invested in a mentor on both sides because I thought, okay, enough is enough, to cut to the chase and tell me what I didn't know, because I knew a lot in both areas, but I didn't know what I didn't know. If you want to do it yourself, what I tell people on the spiritual side is I'm not talking about going to more yoga classes. I'm really not. I'm talking about deep dive into your purpose, your mission, who you are, the truth, the laws, principles of spiritual, you know, universe, and actively study and practice that, just like you actively practice your day-to-day activities. It needs to be set aside time. See, people think, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to study spiritual literature. And it's kind of crazy to say that. Because especially those who say they don't have time need it more than anyone else. Because you're missing half of life. You're missing the force, the momentum behind life and business. So to be more specific, like I said, you can do it yourself, a regular meditation practice, increase those yoga classes, get in communities that study spiritual texts and spiritual literature, and start to apply and play with the law in your business. So, for example, I was just teaching this today. When I first started, I wanted 10 private clients. Like, oh, my God, that'd be amazing. And I probably had two or three. So I put on an Excel spreadsheet the names of those two or three that I had and the amounts they were going to pay me for the certain months, September, October, November, so I could kind of project. And then I put client number 4, client number 5, client number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and I just put client, the word client, because I didn't know who they were. But I knew that I was going to have a full practice. And it was so cool. I was playing with the law, and it worked. eventually I got client four, client five, client six, and I still do that. If I happen to have an opening in my practice, I'll put, oh, okay, client number 14, who are you, where are you coming from? And I get really clear on what I want, who I want, how I want it to look, and then I release it. But all that sounds like voodoo if you don't know and don't have a strong spiritual belief in the law and how stuff works. But that's just a small example of how you can hone that muscle and then integrate it into your business. I'm trying to think of another example.
Would you say that you are a naturally positive person?
Yes, I was born a Pollyanna and an optimist, and I am definitely a half-glass full person. But here's the thing, Walt, you know this. It's kind of like they say, you know, whether God exists or not, isn't it, quote-unquote, better to believe that he, she exists than not? Because isn't it a heck of a lot more fun to believe in this stuff than not? Because we can't prove it. So I just choose positivity because, really, it's all a choice. It's all a choice.
Well, the
and
reason I ask,
like you, I really only hang around people who believe what I believe around the universe.
Sure.
Yeah.
The reason I ask you, there are a lot of people who are somewhat interested in this, but their experience throughout their life has led them to a more negative place. They have a long-standing history in that negative space, so to speak. And people like that can find it to be a bit more difficult, I find anyway, to make the shift to being in that positive vein the majority of the time or even a large chunk of the time. Do you find that's true? And if so, what do you tell to somebody like that? How do you help them get past that hump?
Well, it's really interesting because what those folks don't realize is the law works regardless, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, what you think about, you bring about, what you focus on increases. So if you're focusing on, oh, my God, this always happens to me, you betcha. As you know, the universe only says yes. Yes, sir. It has no judgment or bias. It just says yes. So these people don't realize they're actually working the law in a way they don't want to work the law. Honestly, in my travels and in my business, I, many years ago, really got narrowly defined. So anybody in business, I strongly recommend this, really narrowly define who are your peeps, because there's nothing worse, I've done this, than trying to work with somebody who doesn't believe in the law.
Mm.
And they're just, it's, so I now say, in order for someone to work with me, they need to be at least spiritually curious, because otherwise it's just not going to work. I really can't work with an atheist. I don't have judgment around that. I just know that this is not going to work for them. So I don't try to convince anyone that how the world works. What I find amazing is how many people are waking up to how all this works. And that's so much fun. If I see a glimmer in somebody, then what you do is you just give them a little bite, like, try this, and let's focus on this. And then they get the results like, oh, my God, you won't believe what happened. Yeah, I do. I do believe that happened. And give them another little bite, like, try this. Oh, my God, you won't believe it happened. Yeah, actually, I do believe it. And you know, it doesn't always show up by our time, or on our time. It doesn't always show up the way we want. But we're always manifesting, always.
And actually, what you're describing is also a good business principle, because in business, you really don't want to spend all your time and energy on the people who resist you the most. And I don't mean that from a spiritual perspective, although literally it does mean the same thing. I mean that strictly from a business perspective, because it takes just as much energy or more energy, physical energy, emotional energy, to work with somebody who is resisting you than it is to work with somebody who's paying the bills and happy and like, oh, great, you just made some more money for me. I love it. It's really two different kinds of people.
Yeah.
So what you're saying makes sense from both perspectives.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're starting out in business to turn away people who you think might be interested in you. I mean, I'll give you a straight example. I now only work with women entrepreneurs because my process is so nonlinear that I drive men crazy in my process. My process is just to drive them crazy. And so I got to a point where I just realized that's actually not a good fit. And I was so afraid to do that. And people were like, how can you not work with half the population? It's like, I don't know, but it's just not feeling right. And sure enough, when you get really clear and aligned with what does work and who is your ideal client, as we say, they start showing up. It's the law at work. I would like, please, here's my menu order, a woman over 40 who's heart-centered entrepreneur who has a mission-based, you know, idea and needs to make money. Bing.
So Well, there you go. Well, listen, Linda, we've got to take a break. After the break, we'll talk about your experience more because you've got some fascinating stuff to share with us. So hang around, okay?
Got it. Thanks.
All right. This is LOA Today here on PRN. We will be back after these messages. All right. Welcome. You want to hear on this Thursday evening here on LOA Today with special guest Linda Albright, a personal coach who specializes in working with women entrepreneurs and who has been sharing insights. Well, in that arena. I don't know if the music is going to go away. There we go. Linda.
Love that song, though. That's a great song.
It's a great one, isn't it? When that one came out, I said, oh, I got to incorporate that. That's great.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Just instantly takes you to that happy place. Thank you.
Interesting thing about that song. I don't know if you're aware of it, but there was one point this past spring where that song was number one in almost every Western country in the world.
Yes. Brilliant, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? I mean, that doesn't indicate what's going on. I don't know what does.
I know. So great.
Yeah. So let's get back to the advice that you tend to give to women entrepreneurs. And I want to go again to that startup entrepreneur. You mentioned earlier, and I certainly agree with this, when you're in the very early stages, you're wearing all the hats, you're basically trying to get everything up and running and dealing with the day-to-day while trying to keep your attitude good. What are some of the tricks that you used when you were in that stage to help get you through to the next stage?
Well, so I'm not sure my own experience is probably.
Maybe it was the wrong question.
I'll tell you what I teach people now because the School of Hard Knocks was sort of what I was doing many years ago to figure out what's the magic sauce here. So I think there's two things as you're starting out to get you more quickly aligned with law and with, you know, the universal principles. So one has to do with why you're doing your business, and the other has to do with money. So I'm going to touch on each of those. I don't know how many listeners are familiar with the theory by Simon Sinek, Start With Why. Is that anything that's run across your airwaves lately, Walt?
I haven't seen that one, but fill us in.
Okay, so this is great, great new research. That shows that every company, so this is for anyone starting out, or even if you're not starting out, if anything you're doing, it doesn't matter if it's a business or a life mission or just a goal you have, always tap into why you want this. And here's the reason. In business, every company out there, let's take computer companies, for example, they know what they do. So everybody knows what they do. You're a coach, you're a counselor, you're an interior designer, you're an author, you're an athlete, you're a computer company, you know what you do. And everybody knows how they do it. I sell coaching programs, you sell interior design programs, everybody knows how they do what they do. But very few companies, very few people understand or have gotten to why they do what they do. And of course, this is a spiritual inquiry. Why do you do what you do? Well, in business, the reason you want to figure this out is because that's what will differentiate you. When you know why you do what you do, you appeal to the emotional part of the brain. So if you're selling, you definitely want to lead with your why. You want to start with why. You want to describe what you're up to and why you're doing it. Apple Computer stands out in the field of computer companies because they know their why. Their why is they choose to think differently. They choose to challenge the status quo. And that's why we line up for hours before the newest release of whatever I fill in the blank they're releasing. They're in touch with their why. So as people, as entrepreneurs, get in touch with your why. It motivates people. And sales, by the way, is all about an emotional connection. It's not about an intellectual connection. When you think about your big purchases or small purchases, we check in with our head, but we don't usually buy just from the head. Our heart has to be engaged. That is one of the biggest things you can do. And honestly, how do you find your why? You got to get quiet. You got to get aligned with source. You got to really have a conversation. What is my purpose here? When I personally hooked my business and took it from I help women launch their businesses to, no, you know what? I'm actually launched officially this fall, a women's wealth revolution. Like, woo! Boy, that gave me some momentum I didn't know was even possible. And I've had more fun, more success, and more miracles happen since I hooked into that why. It's been so much fun.
And we can hear the excitement in your voice, too. It comes through loud and clear.
Sorry, I'm a little, and I didn't know if I could rally because it's 7 o'clock. I just said my kids, you know. But you get me talking about this stuff? this is juicy.
Interesting thing you're talking about. You're talking about the spiritual side of feeling good about what it is you do and tying into the uniqueness of it. And, of course, there's also an exact mirror of that on the marketing side, because in marketing they call it the USP, the unique selling proposition,
yes,
which is literally what differentiates you from the rest of the market. So here you've described two sides of the same coin that basically work together in the way that you talked about, having those two legs, the material leg and the spiritual leg.
Yeah, right, right.
I have a question, Brenda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what if you don't even know the what?
Well, then, and you really, and I really, I know where you're at. Like, I can feel it, and I've been there. You're just trying to figure out what is this that I'm doing? Is that what you're saying? Like, what is the what? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay there and ask. But see, don't forget, this current incarnation of my business, I forgot to mention, was birthed through meditation. It was like, and there's a, I want to turn everyone on to, you probably know Michael Beckwith, one of the most foremost spiritual leaders of our time. He's out of Los Angeles. I used to be part of his movement out there. And he has a great series of trainings and books called Life Visioning. And it's not about visualizing, it's about visioning. And it will get you in touch with the spiritual information that's trying to come through you as a human being on this planet at this time. And so take your business to meditation and say, what is trying to be birthed through me? What am I really doing here? How is it supposed to look? What do I have to give up to get there? What do I need to embrace? So he's got a great series, Beckwith. You can just Google him. He's brilliant. And that's how I birthed my business. So you're asking the right questions. What if I don't even know what it is? Go ask. And then ask why, you know? And also just understand that businesses have a gestation period. So you know, I love that you're in action. It's fantastic. And I didn't start my business. My business didn't look like this when I started. I just started, and I kept the spiritual muscles going and asking, and it just keeps incarnating differently and evolving differently.
And before we leave this point, touch for just a minute on the difference between visioning and visualizing.
Yeah. It's the spiritual exercise, the visioning. So as he points out, visualizing is great. You pick your goals, you do your vision board, you set the intention and release it into the universe, right? Visioning is opening up to spirit and saying, what you got? What is trying to be birthed through me? What am I here to do? It's really accessing spirit as your partner to help you create whatever you're here to create right now on this planet. And if you access his training, it's wonderful, because there's a 10-minute meditation that I did about once a week for about 4 months that gave me this current view, this current business. Because honestly, I'm a licensed spiritual counselor, and I have deep roots in starting businesses. How in the world was I ever going to make those integrate? I had no idea. So by opening up to spirit and saying, what are we supposed to have this look like? It slowly came through. Slowly. It's not like I had an aha overnight, but it's slow. And then when you open up, resources show up, people show up, partners show up, clients show up, not overnight, but when you're opening up to the higher intelligence, it's really cool.
And when you say stuff is coming through, describe what that's like. Describe the experience of the stuff coming through.
It's really just in a meditation, asking these series of questions and journaling. And asking questions like, okay, so for me it was, I've got this spiritual counseling piece. I'm afraid to use it in business. What is this supposed to look like? Show me the way. And, you know, it's just really staying curious and open and receiving. You know, we're so used to, especially in business, having all the answers. This is a beautiful process of not knowing the answers, but asking for them and just letting it come through, and journaling and looking for signs. But all the while, We're not just staring at our nails, right? You're doing, you're in action. Like you're building your business and you're taking action, but you're always staying open to a pivot or an opportunity that you didn't think of right there.
And when you're journaling, describe the journaling process.
It's almost like, you know, it reminds me of, no, I'm nowhere near this, at not even close. But, you know, Neil Donald Walsh in Conversations with God?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's trying to step into that zone. It's trying to step into the vortex and having a conversation with your higher self or beings. Or, you know, I'm actually, I've been so raised in the buttoned-up East Coast that I'm sort of jealous of people who actually have access to their guides and their angels. I don't have that. I got little old me trying to clear the pipes with whoever is guiding me or whatever force is there. So describe my process of journaling. It's just allowing my ego to take a nap and seeing what the big Linda is trying to say and letting it just be and not judging it and not even trying to find an answer, but just letting it be part of the evolutionary process.
That's a key word to it, isn't it? Evolutionary.
Yeah. Wow. You know, gosh, especially today, stuff is just landing for so many people so fast. It's incredible. It's quantum. It's incredible. I mean, can you imagine, you know, like, I always laugh. I was never one of those people when you were told, what do you want in 3 to 5 years? It's like, I don't know what I want in 3 to 5 years. I can't really figure out what I want for breakfast. So we need to set intentions and we need to set goals, but you know, the sweet spot is to then open up and say, okay, I think this is what I'm doing, but what else you got, universe? What else you thinking? I think it looks like this, but I'm open, you know?
A couple of months ago, we had a guest by the name of Dave Moquin. I don't know if you know Dave, but he is a medium, and he has these weekly I don't know what to call them, workshops, classes. There aren't really any of those meetings, I guess, that he holds in southern Massachusetts on Tuesday evening. So after the Tuesday following the show on which he appeared with us, I went to his meeting. And part of what you do there is you practice mediumship. Now, I had never done mediumship in my life. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah.
But I walked into this thing, and they walk you through it. They give you some guidance and so forth. And essentially, they tell you in a very small time frame to do what you were just describing over a longer time frame, which is put your ego aside and just whatever you get, don't judge it, don't question it, don't interpret it, just what you get, put it down. And we did this exercise with, you know, it's the classic medium test or the psychic test, right, where they give you something in an envelope, you can't see what it is, you're supposed to try to describe what it might be. You know, so they're handing me these envelopes, and the envelopes are labeled A, B, C, D, E, F. And I'm thinking, I have no idea what's in here, but I tried. I tried to do it. And you know what? Out of the three envelopes I had, I came up with three words to describe those envelopes, and every one of them was accurate. And I have no idea where those keys came from. I have no idea where the words came from at all.
So,
when you were describing your process, that kind of sounded like what I went through exploring that evening with Dave Moquin.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's so cool. I mean, we're so conditioned to interact with our world the way we've been conditioned. But when we can suspend that, it's so fun. It's so fun. Yeah. That's cool. I'll have to check that out because I'm not that far from Massachusetts.
It's quite a thing he's got going there. But when you were describing your process and you're saying, well, I don't have that connection that other people have. I don't have that ability. It's just me. I'm really in that boat, too. I feel very much that same way. So that's why when I had this experience with Dave, I said, oh, my God, how did I do that?
Yeah. I mean, we all have it. I think we just some have it more more easily accessible than the rest of us. But I sure am open to it. I'm sure trying to hone those muscles. In fact, I'm looking for my next class. I mean, I'm just an eternal student. My next class, my next course of action to strengthen my muscles even further on that side of my business and my life.
And you're certainly succeeding because you've been getting some information of some kind. You've been able to turn that into action. That's probably the most remarkable thing from my perspective about what you've done. Because even though you describe yourself as being somebody who's just me, I mean, I don't really have this great ability, but whatever you were able to get, you still had the fortitude, the conviction to follow through and act on it. That's really commendable.
Thank you. I think that, thank you for saying that. That is true. That, you know, here's what happened. About 5-7 years ago, I was at a crossroads and I was either going to go into the ministry because I just finished my spiritual counseling degree and I just, you know, I love this stuff, right? And I just, something nudged me and said, no, you know what? It's the marketplace. Your sandbox is the marketplace. Go spiritualize the marketplace. So I listened. And, because I'm good at building business, it made sense. It's like, oh, you mean I can do both? Well, I never thought of that. So I just, that's my zone of just, it's just play for me. It's to build businesses and help other people build businesses. And let me tell you, nothing makes me happier than when the women I work with make money. I don't care if I make money, I may do. But boy, do I do the happy dance when heart-centered entrepreneurs start making good money. It's like, yes, we're doing it. We're really doing it.
And so, I can see, too, if you're working with a significant number of women, you're going to get those little jolts of happiness almost every day, I would think.
I just, you know, it's just, I'm so blessed to do this work and to do it every day. And don't get me wrong, I got my ups and downs. But
sure.
All told, it's really a blessing. And I feel like I've been nudged to do this work, and I don't really have a choice. Recently, this is funny, I actually had a moment. It was really, chips were down. It's been a bumpy fall. I'll be straight. It's just bumpy. Nothing went the way I expected it to. Nothing. And it usually does. And it just didn't. And I had that moment brushing my teeth. I thought, God, should I go get a J-O-B? Which in my world is like death. Okay.
Yeah.
And if I did, I haven't had a job since I was 33 and I'm almost 50. I haven't worked for somebody. And of course that was for a startup, but I don't know. And I had this moment and I thought, no, I can't. I have this work to do in the world and I know it'll work out. It's because it always does. I know it'll work out. That's where the faith and the spiritual muscle has to come in. So any entrepreneurs that are listening, I just encourage you to build that spiritual faith because it's tough. It's tough to build.
Now, I've got to ask you, Ona, because Ona, you've been describing and exploring this for the last 6 months here and experiencing quite a bit, I'm sure, of what we're talking about, what Linda's talking about. Have you been experiencing that day-to-day thing where you're getting these little jolts saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm doing this?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. As I'm listening to Linda talk, I realize we have very similar personalities, you know. When she talks about the non-linear kind of way she works, I'm like, oh, that's so my way of working. It probably drives husband crazy, but...
But we get it done. Eventually, somehow we get it done. As long as that's where the business leg has to come in, because you got to have a plan and you got to stick to it. Which is why you need both, because otherwise, and so I work with women who are great with the knowing and the intuition and the vision, but they don't know how to make it happen. So they got to have that, you know, usually we're strong on one side or another. So if you've got both going, Yona, you'll be great. It'll be great. I can't wait. I'd love to hear more about what you're up to and support you.
My husband is a great partner for me because I have the intuition. I have all the great ideas and the creativity. And he is a former software engineer, so he's very
perfect.
Structured.
Perfect.
But we have those things, those walls, the experience walls we're talking about, where every day we're like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this is actually working. It almost seems like, you know, it's something illegal, even though it's not. It's completely legal. But it's so amazing that we actually found this opportunity, and it's actually working out for us. So, yeah, I understand that completely.
Fantastic. Well, a little while ago, you asked me what I would recommend for people starting out, and I got onto this first idea, and then I said this about the why and the mission, and that kind of led us this way. I don't want to leave people hanging because I also mentioned the word money. So if I may, I just want to encourage people as they're building their businesses or even their lives, because, you know, everybody has stuff around money, and the law really responds to your whole money story and beliefs. And so what I tell people is hook into the spiritual truth around money and work on your money mindset and your money beliefs, because that, as an entrepreneur, is as important as any marketing strategy you're ever going to do. So what I actually sign in my classes is Deepak Chopra's 21-day abundance meditation. They're brilliant. I'll tell you this much. There's a client of mine that sent them to me years ago, and I thought, huh, I've never been a huge fan of Deepak. No, nothing against them. I just and it's other places. But I thought, I'm going to try these. The year that I did those, my income increased $100,000, which is pretty doggone significant. Now, that wasn't all that I did, but it was huge because I said to myself, I wonder what it would be like if I went to bed and woke up. That's what I do. I still do this with the truth in my ears so that I sleep to the right vibration, I wake up to the right vibration. And if I never had fear, worry, doubt around money, what would my life be like? Now, do I ever have fear of money? Of course I do. I'm human. But it's one of the biggest gifts you can give yourself is to get into the truth around money and abundance. And I highly recommend those as well. Deepak Chopra's 21 Day Abundance Meditations or anything else that's out there. It's just such great stuff on the law and abundance. So I wanted to make sure I left because if somebody was going, wait, she said something about money, and I never got back to it, I wanted to make sure I didn't
mention that. No, I'm glad you did. That's really, really important. I mean, money and the relationships we have with money are, they can be both extremely positive or extremely negative, and either way, they have tremendous impact.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you touched on that.
Here's the way I look at it now. I would invite everyone to adopt this kind of approach. When I fret over money, I realize I am blocking, I'm not just blocking the flow. It's kind of like I'm putting my hand up to the sky and saying, no, I got this. I don't need your help, first of all. And when I choose, because it's a choice, to worry about money, I'm not doing the work I'm being asked to do. Because the universe will provide for me and my family always, one way or another. So turn that over and get to work on what I am here to do on this planet, which I'm very clear about. So anytime I get small and worry about life situation stuff, I'm detracting from what I'm really here to do. And Spirit's just like waiting, like, okay, is she done? Because we got this handled for her. Can she come back? Because we got work to do. You know, I got work to do here. So I just want to invite people to look at it that way. When you wake up at 3 a.m. worrying about college bills, which I do, I got to get myself back into alignment. You go, okay. So.
And that clarity you talked about, and it has basically filtered through everything you've said, that clarity is at least as important, if not even more important, than worrying about money or staying in the vortex and all that. That clarity is where you get yourself back to the good position.
Yeah, which goes back to the why. And what am I here to do right now? I may not do this, 10 years from now, I have no idea, but right here, right now, this is what I'm being asked to do. We're all being asked to do something, and what is that? It's not
to
clock in
point.
And clock out.
You're not making a lifetime commitment here. Right? You're making a commitment right now, aren't you? You're not making a commitment for 10 years from now.
Right. That's why I was saying, those questions, where you want to be in 5 years, I have no idea. I'll be wherever I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. That's the coolness of it. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. You got any more questions you want to ask Linda, Ioana?
No, I just want to say that I really appreciate what she's doing, and I'm going to go check out her website. I did look at it earlier, but I'm definitely going to look at it some more and maybe even send her a message.
Oh, absolutely, and I'd love to support you or just hear what you're doing and offer any tips I can. I don't know what part of the country are you guys in? I didn't even ask that. Where does this take? Where? I mean, I know we're internet, so it's everywhere. But I'm just curious.
Well, that's part of the interesting story. My story is so interesting. We just moved from Ohio to Florida a few days ago.
Oh wow! Okay. Does anyone on the east? What I was going to say? Anyone on the east coast?
We're in Connecticut actually, and the state of New York.
Okay. So anyone on the East Coast, you can get a full dose of this and more with a free live training that I'm doing on December 5th in the Greater Hartford area. It's the Women's Wealth Revolution Live. We are going to raise the roof, probably about 100 women entrepreneurs getting together to continue this discussion and get some real training on how to make money doing what you love, because we need
and about
women entrepreneurs.
30 seconds left. Tell people where they can find out about you, web address, email, whatever.
So you can go to my website, which is unleashyourbiz.com, and that's UnleashYourBiz, unleashyourbiz.com. You can find all information, freebies there. Please visit and drop me a line if you need some support.
Excellent. Linda Albright, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your story, sharing your insights, and sharing your enthusiasm, for goodness sake.
Oh, yes. I'm honored. I'm so grateful. Thank you for inviting me. It's been divine.
And Yuona, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.